These are words from John chapter 1. I'll read the first bit if we all respond together, where it says, together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Together, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Well, that's why we're here tonight, because the darkness has had a light shining into it very brightly. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. Christ has come, not just online, but in person. Just a few practical things as we begin our time tonight. If you've got a phone, you might just want to make sure that's not going to go off. Whether you're here in person, or even if you're watching online, why not turn your phone off as well and really focus on what we're hearing tonight. If you need to use the toilets there, just follow them. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez, and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Ram, and Ram the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nahshon, and Nahshon the father of Salmon, and Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David the king. Our next reading is from Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25, the birth of Jesus. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it was written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd his my people Israel.
Matthew chapter 2, verses 7 to 12. The worship of the wise men. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly, and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way.
Let's have a further reading from John's Gospel, chapter 1. And then we'll think a bit more about that phrase, God with us, that we heard from Matthew chapter 1. John 1, verse 9. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, you can say a lot in just three words, can't you? I love you. Sorry, I'm not saying it to you. Although many of you who I know I love, but that's one phrase, isn't it, that says an awful lot. I'll be back. What film is that from? Or a motivational phrase, just of three words, seize the day. If we were describing carols by candlelight in COVID times, we might call it better than nothing in three words. It's a classic interview question, isn't it, as well? Maybe you've been asked, describe yourself in three words. How would you do that? In our reading earlier, one of the early ones from Matthew chapter 1, the Bible used three words to describe Jesus. Let me remind you of the verse. It's up on the screen. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Three words which pack a huge punch. Actually, this summarized the whole Christmas message for us. First person to hear that phrase was Joseph, that young man whose mind was at that stage in complete chaos, because he had just been told something which collapsed his whole world. The woman he was about to tie the knot with was pregnant by someone else. And so at this point for Joseph, life would be a whole lot simpler if this baby was not with us, if it was not on the scene. And hearing the news, we read in Matthew chapter 1 that Joseph went to bed worrying about what on earth he would do. Perhaps he slept very fitfully that night. But a messenger from God came that night to him and told him, in my paraphrase, Joseph, you think you know what's going on, but actually you don't. Go ahead with the wedding plans. Keep the bookings for the reception. This life is from me. He is my injection of hope into the world. And the very last thing the angel said was that this baby would be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Those three words describe Jesus. We're going to think about those in turn. There is nothing more important you and I could be doing at this point in Christmas. It's so important because if this is not true, then we have no reason to have hope in this world. But if these words are true, that God is with us in Christ, then we have every hope. First word, God. We might think that's really obvious. We know who God is, but actually we need to define who we mean, because there are loads of different views of God, especially in our society today. And we need to realize that actually you and I, we don't get to decide who God is. We instinctively try and do that, but we know we can't do that with one another. I can't define who you are without meeting you and understanding who you are and jumping to conclusions, and so it is with God. And we learn who God is from the Bible. From the verses we've just read, we can see some pretty important things about God. Here's three big things from what we've read. God is the life giver. The fact that he has put life in Mary's womb without the involvement of a man shows that he is in control of the whole process of life. Babies are not delivered by a stork, as we know, but actually they're not even created by a man and a woman. They are created, they're given by God, who brings about conception. So God is the life giver. God is also the intervener in a messy world. How good that is to hear. In a week like this, he is not with his feet up on a deck chair sipping a cocktail on a beach somewhere. He's not in retirement. He has taken his creative power and he has put it to work in our messy world. He's the life giver, he's the intervener, and he's the communicator. I'm just picking up things from our reading. He acts and then he explains. He placed that life inside of Mary, and then he sent a messenger to go and tell her and tell Joseph what was going on. And he gives us the Bible today to explain to us what he's done. And the Bible makes it clear that he's always been these things, the life giver, the intervener, the communicator. There are a whole load of people mentioned in that first chapter in Matthew's Gospel, which is why we read some of those first verses that sounded like reading your family tree. You know, if you go to someone's house and they have a family tree up on the wall, which you occasionally see, that's not the most interesting thing to read, is it? Just so-and-so is the father of so-and-so and the father of so-and-so. Until you know about those people. And then suddenly it becomes alive when you know something about their stories. And if you read those 46 names in Matthew chapter 1, you realize that actually there's a whole load going on in their stories. They would tell of a life-giving, intervening, communicating God. And all you need to do to find out about their stories is read the first book of the Bible. So I don't know how that compares with the God of your thinking. Often we think of God as distant and not really wanting to get involved in our lives, a bit like Father Christmas. He's invisible most of the time, but he's worth getting on the right side of so that he'll hopefully give me what I want at the right time of the year. But far from it, the first word is God, life giver, intervener in a messy world, communicator to our world. He's not the God of our imagination, but of the Bible. First word, God. And for the next word, so we've got the two main characters, you could say, clear in our mind. Let's think about the word us. We're talking about humanity here. Who are we? What are we? There is real good in humanity, isn't there? But who of us can say there isn't real bad, evil as well? And our experience over this past year is an example of that. We see great carelessness. We see a virus being unable to spread and do great harm. But at the same time, we also see great care. We see vaccines being prioritized for the elderly, for the weak. We see all things being done to save a single life. As people, we seem to have limitless capacity for creating new things, but also incredible capacity for harming ourselves. What is it? What explains this paradox? Well, the Bible gives a really clear reason for it, which fits our experience. It tells us that On one hand, we were made by him to be like him, which explains that extraordinary potential. The Bible says that God has put eternity into man's hearts. But on the other hand, it tells us that we've broken off relations with God, which explains our frustrations and our failures. So if you were giving humanity a Facebook status, you might call it something like, it's complicated. Those 46 names from Jesus' family tree are a prime example of that. If you were to go and look at them, you might think, oh, these people in the Bible, they must be really saintly because that's why they're in the Bible, isn't it? But actually, you look through the list, you see some decent-minded people like Boaz in verse 5 of chapter 1, but also a bunch of right ones in that chapter. I mean, there's Rahab the prostitute. Wow, what's she doing in Jesus' family tree? There's the trickster who deceived his blind and dying father, Jacob. It's complicated. And we see, don't we, the same complications in ourselves, in our own hearts. It's not just out there in other people. We see good, but we see real potential for bad as well. And the Bible's message is really clear that the same God who made us in his image, he's the one who needs to remake us in his image again, every single one of us. Because at the moment, we're kind of like this, to put it in diagram form. You know, God's on one side of the chasm, we're on the other, and it doesn't look good. The solution the Bible gives is that we've got to get back in harmony with our Maker, with our Creator. And that's something that you and I don't have the capacity to do for ourselves. And actually, we don't even want to. That's a big part of the message of all those names in Jesus' family tree, an inability, even a lack of desire to get right with God. So, God, us, the other word, kind of changes everything. You could say it's the word that makes all the difference. With God, with us. First, in a very specific sense, this word with tells us that Mary's baby is God. God become man, or baby at this stage. And the word with can mean all sorts of things, can't it? There's a sort of empty type of with. For example, if you're running a marathon and I'm on the sideline saying, I'm with you, and then I go for a coffee and you're left to run the 26 miles, well, that's one sort of with, not a very supportive with. But this with is not like that. It's full of meaning. It's full of concern. It's full of love, of practical help, even of sacrifice. And so to find out what it means, God with us, actually, you need to read on and see what Jesus says and does. What does it mean that God is with us? And I'm not talking about our felt needs, because he tells us that we have a problem, and he's not just addressing our felt needs, but our real need, that relationship with God that we saw is a problem. He tells us that there's this gulf between us and God, and it's like we've had the batteries taken out of our gadget, and we don't work. That's Jesus' bad news that he brings, first of all. But then he also brings good news, really good news, which is why the Gospels are called the Gospels. It means good news. He, in his suffering and death, is able to reverse that problem, which is what Matthew talks about in one of our readings about Jesus being the Savior. Jesus means Savior. He's come to save. And he does that when, aged about 33, he goes to the cross and to his death on behalf of sinners. That is the very heart of what Jesus has come to do. Last month, a scrap of paper was auctioned in England for £42,000. Some of you may have seen that. Why? It was a letter from a man who died on the Titanic in 1912, sent in a rush just before he sailed. He was Pastor John Harper, a widower. And he was on the ship with his 6-year-old daughter and his sister. And as we know, many people died that night in the North Atlantic. But Harper's actions illustrate something of what it means for God to be with us. By Harper's desire to be with those who were dying and to do what he could do to share a message of hope. So when the lifeboats were launched, he made sure that his daughter was in one of them, and then he set himself the task of staying on board the ship with the express purpose of telling as many people as possible that they could die with peace in God, if they trusted Jesus, even at that point in their lives. Now, reports tell us that he gave his life jacket to one man. He said, you know, I'm not going down, I'm going up. And Harper knew that of even greater importance than their physical life was the state of their souls before God. Now, we know that about 1,500 people found themselves in that freezing water where it was -2 degrees, and most would die within 15 to 30 minutes or so. But in that short period of time, Harper was floating around telling whoever he could. One of those men in the water, one of the 5 or 6 who were brought out and who survived, later described Harper coming, floating towards him and saying, "Are you saved?" Saved, that kind of sounds like real Christian language. It's there from the Bible. Jesus is the one who saves. He's saying, "Are you saved?" In other words, is your life safe with Christ? Do you go to your death with hope or not? And the man said, "No, I don't." And they drifted apart, but then they drifted closer together again by the currents in these brief moments. And Harper urged Crane that he could be saved even at this point in his life if he trusted in Jesus coming and in Jesus' death. Now, Crane later spoke and pointed to that moment as the point where he did place his trust in Jesus and his life was completely turned around. Harper chose to be with the dying in order to impart whatever life he could. He knew that even in that situation, God is the life giver. Now, Jesus' actions, of course, are far greater than that. He's the one who enabled Harper to have that view, to have that vision of doing that sort of thing. Whoops. Good job there, not real. And we have, though, this kind of ridiculously rosy vision of Jesus being a little pudgy baby with rosy cheeks in some nice fresh straw in a manger. But actually, entering our world was more like coming from a safe, comfy cruise liner into the freezing water, giving his life jacket to someone else, and sacrificing his life for others. And his motive, his love, his great love for us. He looks at our world, and he looks at our world at the moment and loves it. And he wants to renew it, to recreate it, to remove all that is wrong about it. I want to urge you, if you do nothing else this Christmas, to look at Jesus afresh. And see in him and see evidence that God loves this world and he has not given up on it. And also that he loves you and he's not given up on you. It's funny, the carols that we sing have become more sentimental than anything in our culture, haven't they? So we'll sing things at Christmas that many people wouldn't say they believe for all the other days of the year. But actually, when we understand that Jesus is God with us, some of the carols start to make a whole lot more sense. O little town of Bethlehem, verse 4 says, O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell, O come to us, abide or dwell or live with us, our Lord, Emmanuel. That's the Christmas hope, that God has come to be with us as a man, and actually will be with any person who receives him, turning death to life and bringing you back into harmony with God himself. I said that carols by candlelight in COVID times could be called better than nothing. It's a lot better than that, though, isn't it? We can see tonight. It's great to be together, even if there are things that we can't do. But actually, when we start to see Jesus like this, we realize that Jesus coming is not better than nothing at all. It's better than anything. That's the message of Christmas. It is better than anything. And I want to use this time at Christmas just to challenge you. You know, what next? Okay, what am I going to do about this Jesus at Christmas? If Jesus is Emmanuel, if he's God with us, here's one thing we could do. To see what that means, to see what God with us means, keep reading from Matthew's gospel, from chapter 1 that we started. We've got some copies of the gospel out in the foyer. Just slip one in your pocket as you go out. So you can do that. They're free. Because it makes you then look at the rest of his life thinking, okay, if this is God with us, what does he have to say to us? What has he done? How does he call us to live? You could talk to the person who invited you here today. Ask them to tell you more. Or thirdly, you could commit to finding out more by coming to our Sunday services or following online if attendance is impossible at the moment for some. But actually, as a church here, we meet to find out how Jesus is God with us and the implications of that for everyday life, what it means to live in harmony with our Creator day by day. We're like the family, we're like the characters in Jesus' family tree as well. It's complicated. We've covered all the sins in the book as a church here, but we're united in the belief that Jesus is the answer to our every need. He brings us back to God. So, I don't know whether Jesus has been with you, whether God has been with you through 2020. The Bible says that that depends on whether you're living with Christ or not. But I do know that he can be with you for 2021. And there is no better way to enter the new year than by living in harmony with your Maker through his Son, God with us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these three simple words, incredibly profound. We've thought about them tonight. We pray that that would not be the last time we do so. We pray that we would learn the truth of them, not theoretically, but very experientially in our own lives as well. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.